The Word of God for Friday of the 34th week of Ordinary Time. The Book of Revelations, chapter 20. I, John, saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the abyss and a heavy chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, which is the devil or Satan, and tied it up for 1,000 years and threw it into the abyss, which he locked over it and sealed, so that it could no longer lead the nations astray until the 1,000 years are completed. After this, it is to be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones. Those who sat on them were entrusted with judgment. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or its image, nor had accepted its mark on their foreheads or hands. They came to life, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Next, I saw a large white throne, and the one who was sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. I saw the dead, the great and the lowly, standing before the throne, and scrolls were opened. Then another scroll was opened, the Book of Life. The dead were judged according to their deeds, by what was written in the scrolls. The sea gave up its dead. Then death and Hades gave up their dead. All the dead were judged according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the pool of fire. The pool of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the Book of Life was thrown into the pool of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Word of the Lord. Dear family, the Apocalypse means unveiling, the revelation. Mystery is a truth that God wants to show us, for us to know, but we cannot fully comprehend. So what we're trying to do now is to understand that we can, because God wants us to. John sees an angel that overpowers Satan and with a big chain binds him, and with a big key he locks him into the abyss for 1,000 years. Now, what is it that binds Satan? It is Jesus Christ by his death and resurrection. For example, in John 12:31, Jesus says, "Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out." Also check it out in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. St. Paul, in the same line, is teaching us that this time is the time of the church when Satan is bound. It is a time of the great evangelization where Christendom is established on the earth, because the lies, the darkness of Satan is exposed by Jesus Christ. However, Satan is still battling. He's vanquished, but he's still battling. That is evident, right, in our world. But we have the power of God to be victorious in this battle. Now, next we see thrones, and those who were sitting in the thrones are in doing judgment. Jesus is the judge, but all the saints who are in heaven are participating on this judgment. And there is then a correlation between being king and being judge. And we are going to partake of both in Christ. And St. John mentions those who had been beheaded, but also all those who are witnesses to Jesus and to the Word of God. It's interesting, the beheading, because now with ISIS, we see it happening again. There's always been persecution in the church. In the 20th century, millions and millions, just with Stalin alone, it's some people calculate many millions were killed. So the battle continues, even though the war has been won. Now it says, they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Again, is the 1,000 years when the Satan is locked up in the pit, in the time that we're living now. So who are these who have resurrected? It is the first resurrection. It means those who have died. It's a spiritual resurrection, this first resurrection, where they have gone to heaven, and they are now in the when Jesus was in the throne, and they are active. They are interceding for us. And so we can pray to them. That's why Saint Teresa of Lisieux could say, I will spend my heaven doing good on earth. So after Satan is released, there will be a short time of persecution, which is the church's final trial. Now we have, after that, the final judgment. It says, next I saw a large white throne, and the one who was sitting in it, well, that's Jesus Christ, right? And I saw the dead, the great and the lowly, everyone, the most powerful men in the world, the most humble and unknown, and the scrolls are opened. And this is the scroll of your life. Everything will be exposed. And then we will see if it matches with what is in the book of life. If your name is not in the book of life, then you're lost. If your name is, then you're saved. Those whose name is not in the book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that will be the second death. That will be perdition. So there is a first death that we all go through. The saints, which is all those who die in the grace of God, they have a spiritual resurrection. They go to heaven. They are already participating there with Jesus in the work of salvation by their intercession for us. And then there will come the second resurrection, which will our bodies will rise from the tombs, and then everyone will be judged. And we see then that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And what happens finally? The former heavens and the former earths pass away. The sea is no more. And then he saw the heavenly Jerusalem. And what comes down out of heaven from God? The bride, which is the church, which are all those who he mentioned that were beheaded, that were tortured, that were martyred, and also all those who participated in the hidden martyrdom, that is, all the saints who lived a faithful life, the ordinary, the hidden life. They are there too. They are faithful, and so they are adorned because they are the bride that is going to her husband. Notice the contrast between this and what we saw before in Revelation, the Babylon, which was the whore, who had relations with all the magnates and the powerful people and the merchants and so forth. Now the bride is faithful, and is coming to her husband, which is Jesus Christ, and this is now the full manifestation of the mystery. Now, let me make clear, many people talk about the 1,000 years that Jesus reigns on the earth. Many people think that there will be a period of time on the earth where Jesus will physically be reigning. This is not true. The Catholic Church rejects this, calling it millenarism. It is the concept that before the final judgment, there will be this time where Jesus will be ruling on the earth physically, that Christ's kingdom will come to pass through some kind of human political program, some kind of a secular messianism. This is not true. I recommend that you read the Catechism numbers 675 to 677 that deals with these points. The kingdom of God will come only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil and the descent of the new Jerusalem from heaven, all by the power of God. Okay, so in a nutshell, Satan has been suppressed, has been chained, but he still has influence upon the world, but his days are counted, he's vanquished. After the period of the church will come, at the end will come this period of great tribulation, when Satan will be unleashed for a short time, and then will be the end. Now let us go to the gospel. Luke 21. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourself and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the gospel of the Lord. The first thing to look at here, I think, is the conclusion. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away. This teaches us that the Word of God is more real, more substantial, more powerful than the whole cosmos. In fact, as we know from Genesis, the whole creation comes from the Word. God says, let there be, and it is. And so the Lord is calling us to something which is new for us, which means live by the Word. Allow the Word of God to reign in your mind so that you see everything according to the Word, and the Word was crucified. That is the last word. Jesus crucified and risen. And he gives us a way of looking at everything. And so we have to be attentive. Just like we have common sense and we can tell that the winter is coming, the summer is coming, and so forth, the Lord wants us to have spiritual intelligence so that we can see the signs of the times. Now, we do not know, not even Jesus, when is the second coming? When are these things going to happen? It belongs to the Father. And so we should not be speculating those things. So what are we going to be attentive to? Is what is our mission now? How do we be ready and attentive to do what God wants us to do in our life? I think a beautiful example for me of this, I always mention this, is Maximilian Kolbe, Saint Faustina too. They lived in a moment of history right before the Second World War. He died in the Second World War in a concentration camp, Saint Faustina, a year before it started. But they both had a mission from God to prepare people for that terrible war and beyond. And so, likewise, we have to see what's happening in the world so that we can perform our mission, even though we do not know the whole picture. We can see what is happening and realize, well, families are falling apart, people are losing their faith, there's a great apostasy going on. Lord, what is my mission? What am I to do? In our community, the Lord has called us to be a faithful remnant, to be prepared so that we do not deny him. We are not driven by fear, but by faith. God bless you.